The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning to you. 4 minutes past nine on this Thursday, the 16th of November, 2023. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show. How are you all keeping? I hope you're doing very well indeed, of course, and we want you involved in the show today. You can just sit back, relax, and listen. That's up to you. But if you've got a view that you want to get off your chest or contribute, or if there's something that you think we should be talking about, well, then you get the phone out and you open up WhatsApp or SMS and text 086 60 25,000. If you prefer to send a voice message, you can send that to us on WhatsApp on 086 60 25,000. Just hold down the little microphone and release when you're ready to go. You can also give us a call, 07491 25,000, 07491 25,000, and emails come into us at comments@highlandradio.com. Rightio. Let's see what's making the news in the newspapers. We'll start with the Tyrconnell Tribune this morning. John McAteer writes that the issue of clerical sex abuse that has haunted the Diocese of Raphoe for close to a century is back in the news once again. The name of paedophile priest Con Cunningham is back in the national headlines due to concerns that he's living close to a primary school in Dublin and an apartment complex where children play unsupervised. He was placed on the sex offenders register in 2018. A very detailed report on that on the inside and front of that paper this morning. The Donegal News this morning. Donegal County Council has confirmed that it is cooperating fully with Gardaí as part of an investigation into allegations of corruption within the council. The claims of corruption relate to the purchase by the council of five houses in Buncrana containing defective concrete blocks in March of 2021. The allegations were made later that year by Councillor Frank McBurty. The council has confirmed to the Donegal News that Gardaí are now investigating the complaints, as they must. A council spokesperson said the council is cooperating fully with the Gardaí and expects to be vindicated in due course. It does not propose to make any further statement or answer any further questions on the matter so as not to interfere with the Garda investigation. The Derry News this morning. A Derry autistic advocate and author has questioned what he described as the negative portrayal of autistic people perpetrated by autism charities and non-profit organisations. Speaking to the Derry News, Jude Morrow, who himself is autistic, said autistic people face huge unconscious negative bias as a result. The author of four books to date, including Loving Your Place on the Spectrum and Neurodiversity Blueprint, elaborated typically where people go when they hear autistic is the lack of social skills, the lack of communication skills, difficulty being organised. These are the negatives people go to. And we had quite an interesting and long conversation with Jude on this show a couple of weeks ago where he was speaking on that in great detail as well. Made a lot of sense in what he was saying. The Donegal Democrat this morning, the owner of the Ringfort Inn, has confirmed his intention to house around 150 Ukrainian refugees in the Brookless Guesthouse. Amid concerns of a group of locals who have scheduled a public meeting for this Sunday, Robert Lynch says he plans to have the building, which has been vacant since 2012, occupied by Ukrainian refugees by January or February at the latest. Remedial works are ongoing at the Ringfort Inn, which Mr. Lynch says will consist of 22 bedrooms when the works are completed. In July, the Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, signed an order which allows vacant buildings to house refugees for a period of 5 years without planning permission. Latest figures show that 7,006 Ukrainian refugees are now living in Donegal. There have been 60 objections against planned development works at the Ringfort Inn. So I wonder, is there an arrangement in place with the government to actually use that, or is he developing it in the hope that it might attract that clientele? It'd be interesting. It might be in the inside of the paper. I didn't get a chance to read the full article, but has a agreement in principle been signed that it would be Ukrainian refugees in the Ringfort Inn? The Irish Independent this morning, there's always a worry around things, aren't they? Well, if you've got a pay cap of €250,000, well, you can take more days off in a year, and then it's not really a pay cut at all, is it? Well, RTE stars hit by a €250,000 pay cut will be able to get more money per day for working less. Joe Duffy, Claire Byrne and Miriam O'Callaghan are currently on salaries above the limit. Director General Kevin Backhurst says stars above the cap may be able to negotiate to work fewer days. They'd be paid more per day, but they'd keep their salary under €250,000. As I say, there's always a way around these things, isn't there? Okay, on to the Irish Times this morning. And the first Irish citizens to escape from Gaza since war erupted there a month ago crossed into Egypt yesterday amid hopes that more will be able to follow in the coming days. And this is a really important story, and I'm very pleased for these people to have escaped that hellhole at the moment. But sometimes we as human beings look for a little bit of positivity to make ourselves feel better. And that can sometimes be at the expense of thinking about the wider picture. So whilst it's good that a handful of Irish people have escaped Gaza, and it's very good news, the rest who have no option, the rest of the people stuck in that enclave who have no options, no way of getting through that border, are still facing the wrath of Israeli bombs and tank fire and weapons and what have you. So as I say, whilst this is good news, I don't think it should overshadow the absolute nightmare millions, hundreds of thousands of people are living in. Well, Tánaiste Micheál Martin, who travelled to Egypt as part of intense diplomatic efforts and will visit Israel and Palestine today, confirmed that 23 Irish citizens and their dependents exited Gaza yesterday and were received at the Rafah crossing by a team from the embassy in Cairo. The Irish Daily Mail, what are your views on assisted dying? Do you believe it's something that we should facilitate? So if someone has a terminal illness, that they can choose on their grounds to pass away earlier than nature might have it? Or does that go against what you believe in? Nationally, 75%, we're told, of the Irish public support assisted dying. This is in the Irish Daily Mail. Three quarters of the public believe assisted dying should be permitted in cases where people have a life-limiting or terminal illness. In a survey of 1,000 adults by Amarc Research on behalf of DMG Media, 75% said they were in favour of allowing assisted dying in such cases in Ireland. The government is currently weighing up whether to legislate on the issue, and a special Oireachtas committee tasked with exploring the idea is ongoing. This was spurred on by the success of the Dying with Dignity Bill in the Dáil in 2020, which was supported by the late cervical check campaigner Vicky Phelan, whose one-year anniversary fell this week. And as I say, in other countries where this is legal, you know, I've seen of and heard of cases where people were at the beginning of a journey, relatively speaking, of MS, for an example, and chose to and were able to end their life. Could this put pressure on older people who have a life-limiting or terminal illness that they don't want to be a burden, you know? What kind of a country would this make us? What do you think? Apparently, according to this survey, I'm not sure how big the poll was, but it was done through Amarc, which is a respected outlet. 75% of you out there apparently support assisted dying. Now, it would be useful to get your views, but also not, especially if it's framed in a life experience whereby you would have you lost someone and you both of you would have agreed that if this was in, you would have chosen that option. Be very interested to speak to you. Or perhaps you were with someone who was very sick, had a life-limiting or terminal illness, and you would have hated that option because it could have put pressure on their final months and years. As I say, it'd be very interesting to get various views on this. And you know yourself, you can WhatsApp or text us on 08660 25000. There does seem to be a move towards the introduction of assisted dying here. The Irish Farmers Journal this morning, new TB control measures, which could curtail the buying and selling of cattle, could be rolled out as out in parts of the country. The move was proposed by the Department of Agriculture to its scientific working group on Bounty TB. This would see cattle herds and regions classified by TB risk, a move which the group admitted would undoubtedly impact on the cattle trade if adopted. The change could restrict farmers in low-risk TB areas from buying animals from high-risk areas in order to stem the spread of the disease. Now, just turning to page 7 here. They don't have the pages numbered. Yes, they do. Right now, I was just seeing if they had a breakdown of the regions that are seen as high or low risk, but no, they don't currently. The Irish Daily Star today. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has accused Sinn Féin of having a policy of shouting down or suing the media and other political parties. Sinn Féin has faced criticism in recent weeks after its TD Chris Andrews took legal action against Irish Times journalist Harry McGee. The party's leader, Mary Lou McDonald, has previously defended the right of individual Sinn Féin politicians to take action against the press in a manner they deem appropriate, including suing the media. Ms. McDonald has also been accused of mounting a strategic lawsuit against public participation against members of the media, a claim she was rejected. But there are other ways and other parties that find other ways of trying to stifle what the media say or questions that the media ask. It's not exclusive to Sinn Féin. There are other examples that you would see whereby the same result could be achieved, but it's done in a different way. It was quite interesting to see, because the Irish Times, I believe, is one of the papers that's being sued, but they covered that story yesterday, or online at the very least, and they had a screen grab of the Dáil proceedings, and it's not very favourable to Mary Lou McDonald, which I thought was really quite interesting. Worth looking at, if you see, because she looks like she's scowling, and it's not a very flattering a very flattering picture. So maybe there's a little bit of a back and forth going on there. The Sun this morning: the dreaded winter virus that affects almost all children is on the rise in Ireland. Cases of respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, have more than doubled in a week, with parents urged to keep infants away from crowds. Dr. Colm Henry, Chief Clinical Officer at the HSE, said you can reduce the chance of infection by keeping hands clean, covering coughs and sneezes, and having your child's vaccines up to date. RSV is a common virus and is the main cause of bronchitis and pneumonia in the very young. And it was in our house at Christmas last year, and I was in now, Doc, and what have you. So not nice when it's about. And finally, in the Mirror today, nearly 1,400 Gardaí are currently off sick on sick leave. New figures released by the Justice Minister reveal some 508 have been out over 28 days, according to the figures provided to Fianna Fáil, Cavan Monaghan TD Niamh Smith, following a parliamentary question. This is labelled as an exclusive, but it was an answer given in the Dáil to a parliamentary question. She had asked Minister Helen McEntee the number of police, or Gardaí, or cops as they call them, that are out sick by division and how many are on long leave. She also asked for information on how many people are on a career break and when they are due back. Minister McEntee confirmed that as of October 4, there were 1,376 people out sick. This included 508 who were out for more than 58 days. We must get in contact with her office to see if we can get a regional breakdown there. It's not published in the papers, but it was requested by that TD. It'd be interesting to see what the level of absenteeism is up here. Colette joins us now. Colette, how are you getting on?
I'm not too bad, Greg. Thank you.
All right. Now, the reason you're speaking to us is a really long wait for your son to be seen by ENT. What's the situation, Colette?
Well, he has been seen by them. This is going on now for over a year. He's got eustachian tube dysfunction, and this has gone on since last January. He's had about 6 or 7 appointments with the ENT, and he's got fluid in his ear, and it's causing popping. It's pressure in his ear. He's had about 6 or 7 appointments. They keep giving him steroids, keep giving him stuff for the ear, but the same thing is happening. And they keep saying, come back in 3 months' time, come back in 3 months, see if it's gone. And this has affected his life. It's had a serious impact on his life. It's affecting that he's actually had a lot of time off work because it's causing a lot of dizziness. There's blood coming out of his nose. There's like glue-like snot coming out of his nose. He's stopped socialising. He stopped going to his training. We've told him it's had a big impact on his mental health. He's actually had to take anti-anxiety medication and because of this. And they told him the mental health team would get in contact with him. This is over a year ago. Not one person has contacted him. That's over a year ago. We've spent over €1,000 on medication and doctors. He's been to A&E about 5 times because of the pressure in his ear that he couldn't cope with it. It's like he says, he feels like he's underwater all the time. And the pressure, he says, is just unbearable at times. And it just feels like he's going, it's must, you know yourself, like if you're underwater all the time, the pressure in your head, like, you know, when there's something in your head, he says it's unbearable. Yeah. But they keep saying to him, so he was at the last appointment and they said that they would put grommets in. This procedure takes 10 minutes to do. That's what they told him the last time. It takes 10 minutes to do, to put grommets in. And then they said they would do balloon dilation. So we went to the person that does the balloon dilation, and she says there's a big long waiting list for the balloon dilation. This is, you could get the grommets in, and he says, I'll take whatever is the quickest. So then he had heard them, when he rang up again, he says, look, I've heard nothing again since. And he says, well, you actually refused the balloon dilation. He says, I've never refused the balloon dilation, as I'll take whatever is the quickest. So they had on his notes that he had refused the balloon dilation, which wasn't the case. He says, I'll take whatever is the quickest option to get rid of this pain. He says, this has impacted my life completely. Like, he's 30 plus years of age, and it's completely put his life on standstill.
There's no escape from this either. It's continuous. No. And one of the symptoms as well is that it's like when you really put your fingers in your ear, you can hear your own voice when you're speaking, and, you know, the gurgles and bubbles and noises from within your body, you can hear them as well. Does it affect him like that also?
All the time, he says it's just a constant pressure. He says, and, like, you know, his nose is the stuff coming out of his nose constantly, blood, and, like, you know, he says it's dizziness, and this has impacted his job because he can't actually do his job, because when he gets the dizziness, he can't actually do his job. Obviously, you know, if you're dizzy, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you can't do whatever the job he's doing. He can't actually do it because of the dizziness. He's explained this to him, but they just seem to be, they're turning a blind eye to it. Like, you know, a year is a long time to be putting up with this here. Mm. Like, you know, they're talking about young men's mental health problems, but they don't seem to be doing anything about it. We've explained this. We've been ringing. Like, you know, we don't have a medical card, and every time we go to the doctor, like, he's not running to the doctor for the good of his, you know, just to be thrown out 60 euro every time. Mm. Like, you know, I mean, do they not see this? And we just want to know, maybe you could maybe find out answers.
No, of course,
for
we're going to check it out. Clint, have you looked at the National Treatment Purchase Fund? Has anyone mentioned that to you, whereby if you're on a waiting list, that you can go and get the grommets in, or the balloons in the Galway Private Hospital, for an example? Has the National Treatment Purchase Fund been mentioned at all, or would he qualify for that?
No, we've never heard tell of that. We've actually asked the last time we were at, because I actually went up with him the last time to see, and we says, like, you know, can we go private? He says, it'll not make any difference if you go private. You're still going to be waiting the same length of time, because we're willing to pay anything at this stage to get him free from the symptoms. This is, you'll still be waiting the same length of time. So that's what we were told. So, like, you know, we're willing to go and see someone, go pay private or whatever to get this sorted for him. But that's all we've been told each time. Come back in 3 months, come back. And, like, he's got another appointment now next Thursday. But again, he says, oh, sure, I'll be told again, come back in another 3 months time again. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we're getting just pushed back. Every time we go, we're being pushed back again. Mm-hmm. Like, he can't go on much longer. He actually said to me the last day, you know, I'd rather be deaf now than go through this, you know, in 1 year than to go through this pressure that I'm actually feeling. Like, you know, his life has been on hold this last year. He's given up training, he was actually competing in competitions, and the training that he was doing, he's actually had to give up this last year as well, which is sad for a young fella at this age to stop socialising. Like, you know, I don't think they'd put one of their own members or their own family through this if they, you know what I mean? Like, you know, what is wrong with the health system at this stage? I don't know if any other buddy has experienced the same. You know, I'd like to hear if anybody else experienced
the same thing. No, for sure. But I would like you just to make some inquiries as it relates to the National Treatment Purchase Fund too, because supposedly, you know, it is to facilitate the treatment in certain categories.
I'll just write that
just
down.
The NTPF, if you Google it and go onto their website. Maybe some
National
listeners at Purchase Fund.
Right.
Now, I don't know how it works now, but I know my own son needed grommets, and there was a huge waiting list, and we ended up getting an appointment quite quickly down in Galway for grommets to be installed. Now, he was younger at the time, and I'm not looking to give you false hope, but I just want you to be able to look. I can't believe no one has mentioned that to you unless it doesn't apply.
No.
So we'll throw it out to the listeners. We're going to make inquiries, of course, with the HSE, but we'll throw it out to the listeners if they have any advice as to how this can be expedited. Because, you know, I'm not saying this because you said it, but his mental health is so greatly affected that he has in the past said that he'd almost prefer not to be here than to endure what he's doing. I mean, no parent ever wants to hear that.
No, exactly. Like, you know, they're talking, like, there's young men there out there, like, you know, and so much has happened. Like, why do you want to hear that? Like, you know, I mean, I think it's absolutely ridiculous at the minute, the way things are going, that anybody should put a young fella or any young girl through that. Like, you know, why would anybody want to put anybody through that? And do they not realise? And, like, over a year, and they say the mental health team would contact them, and not one person has gave us a call. So that goes to show you, you're only a number in this society at the minute.
Right, okay. All right, listen, well, yeah. As I say, between what listeners might have to contribute, we'll make our inquiries and maybe you can just have a look at the NTPF there, and hopefully we can get somewhere, Colette, so he gets his life back, because it's unbearable what he's having to endure at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you so
fair
much.
Fair play, Colette, for advocating on his behalf.
Bye-bye.
You're very good. Okay, take care of yourself. 086 60 25000. Any input into that, please let us know. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. It's good to have you on board this morning. Right, we are discussing Kilmacrenan now, and we go to Independent Councillor John O'Donnell. Good morning to you, John. Thanks for joining us today.
Morning, Greg. Morning to your listeners.
Right, okay. So for those who may not be aware, describe this junction that you have, many people have concerns about.
Yeah, it's the main intersection in the middle of the village of Kilmacrenan. It's a four-way junction leading to Churchill, Milford, and then the N56, the main corridor. To the west of Donegal leads through it from Letterkenny all the way down to Bunbeg and Gidore and stuff. So just, I suppose, we're very, very concerned as local residents, Greg. You've heard us on numerous amount of times, and, you know, it's got to the stage now that something's going to have to be done. I certainly am very, very concerned about somebody being very seriously injured at this junction.
What do you think makes this junction so particularly dangerous?
Well, I suppose it has become very, very dangerous both in the last 10 years, because there was a realignment done in Kilmacrenan about 10 years ago, and they took all the parking on the left-hand side of the lower main street away, and they put down double yellow lines, so they've widened out the carriageway and made it more straight through, and there's no cars parked there, so people are they've created a much faster corridor and more straight alignment for people to travel through. And then you have a dangerous blind junction there, and people are struggling trying to get out onto the road. And if you've seen the volume of traffic, like the amount of traffic that's on the road, as you know, Greg, like every house nearly has two cars now. And the amount of traffic that's on the road and the volume of traffic that travels through Kilmacrenan, and there's no real traffic calming measures. And I do believe that we need to, number one, we need to narrow the corridors to make traffic calming, but we also need to put a traffic light controlled junction at this junction. And everybody that I'll be speaking to is singing off the same hymn sheet, like, and all my elected members agree as well that something needs to be done as a matter of urgency. So,
now, this is not really the councillor kind of wee bit hamstrung here. This is a junction, a road that's Transport Infrastructure Ireland have responsibility for, and we know they can be hard to get to the table to discuss changes to roads, because then there's surveys and then there's this and that and the other. You know, it can be a long drawn out process at times.
Yeah, exactly. It's under the control of the TII. You're spot on, Greg. And I suppose I'm the chairperson of the roads SPC for the whole county, and I'll be engaging with the TII on an ongoing basis. And I also go as a delegation on an annual basis to Dublin to make representations for all the new road network upgrades that we need in Donegal, and also for my own municipal district. So this is one that's been on the priority list every time I've went. And, you know, I just feel that we need to maybe step out past TII and get an independent review on this, an independent review of the safety audit, because, you know, we're waiting on them to do something. And like, as I said to you, Greg, like, even last week, well, in fairness, last week there was an accident there, but it was a mechanical failure of a car. But, you know, I'm standing at that junction because I'm there every day of the week. I have an office in that area and I have a number of buildings. And, you know, you're standing there directing traffic around an accident. You have your local constituents and local people from the area and people from further afield that know you and know that you've been mentioned in this junction. And you're standing out directing traffic around another accident. You just feel like, you know, there was the one particular constituent looked at me and was absolutely fuming. And I can't blame them. I can't blame them. But, you know, something needs to be done, Greg, and that's the reason I've made it so strong the last day, my point across to the executive of the council, and I do believe that they are going to maybe act on it now, following the motion, and the full support of all the members as well we had that day.
I mean, there is also an issue, is there not, from one of the roads leading to that junction. There's quite a lot of residential property up that road, and no safe footpath or means for a person to walk into Kilmacrenan.
Yeah, well, look, I suppose there's the footpath is an issue also. But what I would say is we also need a traffic. We need a controlled crossing at that junction because, Greg, like, we have the local national school there that's on the far side of that junction up the Cochin Road heading towards Churchill. We have the local church there as well, so we do. And, you know, you have parishioners and you have pupils heading to school and you have parents there trying to cross in the morning and evening. Like, and I'm seeing them myself every day of the week with my own eyes. And, like, you know, as I said to the executive on Tuesday, like, there's no point me bringing a local roads engineer from Donegal County Council out because they can do nothing, number one, but number two, they're fully aware of it. So we need to get somebody from the TIA or we need to get an independent report, safety audit done, so that somebody will see the dangers that is arising from the speed of the traffic and the volume of traffic going through the town and the I suppose, the concealedness of that entrance as well that people trying to cross. Because, you know, if you get an opening at all, you're just trying to dart across and hope for the best. And that's no joke. Like,
in response to you raising this issue, you were told the road safety engineer has carried out an investigation of the location and the design of a signage and lining enhancement scheme will be completed this week and the works program will be carried out as soon as is possible. Does that go far enough, though?
An absolute waste of time. Waste of time. They can line all they want and they can talk about signage all they want, but at the end of the day, until you get a controlled junction so that people can, like, you can line all you want, but that still doesn't help people trying to cross the road.
No, and if you're coming from Milford, there's two big red stop signs. There's a stop on the road itself. I mean, what else could be added there? Clearly, what's there at the moment is not adequate. And as you say, the traffic going from Letterkenny to going to Letterkenny to the likes of Crease Lakes, bombing it down there and up there.
They are indeed. And look, at the end of the day, you know, they were on before, but putting a go safe van on there for the check for the speed. Like, it's what's point you shouldn't fish in a barrel. Like, at the end of the day, if the road's not designed for to be able to reduce traffic speed getting into a village down to 50 kilometres, that's not the road users fault neither. And, like, we all know the amount of roads and villages that you enter this 50 kilometres, that maybe the signs could be overgrown for the want of hedges to be cut in maintenance, or maybe the signs been turned around the other way by maybe a bit of local blackguardism and young boys and girls meaning no harm and doing what they're doing, and then all of a sudden the motorists are coming and he's a victim. So it's not about putting go safe vans or anything in place. It's about reducing the speed of the vehicles coming into the town and putting safety measures in the junction that people can cross that carriageway safely. There's not another village, I would say, in Ireland that has an intersection like that that's not controlled with some type of controlled lighting signals and reducing traffic to make sure that pedestrians and motorists can cross safely. And I think I would stand to be corrected in that, because this is a main. As you know yourself, Greg, you're a Donegal man. You travel that road often. And you go down through Kilmacrenan, and that's the main corridor from Letterkenny to the whole west of Donegal. If you're heading for Creaslet, Dunfanaghy, Fulcara, Eddore, that's the road you go.
Okay, well, we'll see. Keep us updated on it, because we just don't want to be in a situation where we've had severe warnings, a couple of crashes, more than a couple. We don't want to be in a situation that someone gets knocked down or there's a fatal collision there, and then we'll all be saying, well, we told you so. You know what I mean? But that's the last thing anyone wants.
Well, that's exactly, and I think, Greg, you've hit the nail on the head. Nobody wants to be standing back saying, I told you so. We just want the problem addressed. And what I would say to you is the reason that I'm raising it so often is because, for simple reason, it's getting more and more common. It's happening far more often. And I want to thank you, Greg, for giving us the time and the airwaves this morning to let the constituents that I represent as well know that I am doing my level best to get this addressed. And, you know, I just hope to God now that the council does listen to us. and engage an independent body to do a safety audit on it to get it done as a matter of urgency.
All right, thanks very much indeed, Independent Councillor John O'Donnell there. Greg, I mentioned this yesterday, nice to hear you use a clothes horse. I'm the only one in my large family who uses one. I'd be lost without it. That comes in from Mary. Thanks, Mary. Random text. I appreciate it. But I think they're brilliant. They dry clothes really, really quickly and they save you a fortune. I got one that you can extend the arms out on it and you get two loads of washing on it. It's fantastic. And it doesn't create an awful lot of dampness in the house either, I don't find, anyway. Why can't driving instructors just give the test at the end of the course of lessons? Yeah, I mean, why can't... There's lots of things that could be done differently here. Like, why can't everyone do... Every garage do MOTs, you know, providing that they meet the requirements. NCTs, sorry, I'm thinking of what they do in Northern Ireland. You know, so you could go to your local garage, Highland Motors or Inishowen Motors or Anthony Connor or whoever it might be, and you could get your car serviced and tested there and then. That would be so much handier. We wouldn't be waiting 6 months to get an NCT. But again, you know, we could have a situation whereby driving instructors could perform the test. I've never heard that proposed before, actually. Everyone's always talking about health and safety. What about bin lorries, asks the caller. Are they exempt? The young lads round the back, no cages or nothing. They could take a turn and fall off. What is the stance on health and safety? Is it hazardous? Are they exempt? I mean, maybe it is hazardous, but they're often jumping from house to house. And it's not something that bothers me, but I understand where you're coming from and respect your view there. Hi, Greg. Old fridges and freezers can start to run more often and for longer amounts of time because when they start to run low on gas, this can send electricity bills through the roof, and water pumps can do the same if there is a pressure fault. Best regards. That's off the back of some people finding spikes in their electricity bills. Many people putting it down to smart meters because that's the only thing that's changed for them over the last wee while. We had a great conversation yesterday about bus escorts. I was familiar with the work, but I wasn't familiar with their issues as it relates to their terms and conditions. We had some of you would have other things to do between 11 and 12, so I understand that you can't listen to all of the show, though I don't like it, but anyway, I'm only joking. But we had a very interesting conversation at the end of yesterday's show about bus escorts and how they're being treated and what they want, etc. And you can listen to the podcast, which is on our website, or if you wanted to rewatch it, go onto YouTube and just watch yesterday's show. It's from about 20 to 12. But these listeners say, my mother is one of the bus escorts. She leaves the house just after 6 a.m. every morning to take young, vulnerable children to school at 9. These escorts get absolutely nothing, but they give everything to the children to ensure they are safe and happy, going to school and talking with them about their day at school. It's really unfair how they're treated. Another, hi, Greg, just on the bus escort discussion. I have a family member who does this role. I'm shocked and disappointed how the escorts have been treated over the years. Their job is so vital for all the children and their families with special needs. It's not an easy job, but they show up every day making a difference for the children and young people with complex needs. They give so much to the families. It's time they were paid and treated fairly. A rise in their pay and paid for holidays like Christmas, Easter and summer, all bank holidays like SNAs, teachers and other professionals in the education system. Thanks to Anne and Breed for highlighting this matter. It's very important something changes for their profession. Thank you for these professionals. Indeed, and just that whole process. And I know from speaking to school secretaries and caretakers over the years, and also seasonal workers, this whole crack of having to sign on every time, you know, it's summer holidays time, the delay in payments, the level of payments, it's just an old-fashioned way of doing it. We heard from Pádraig McLoughlin, Sinn Féin, and it's on the record of committed, if this current government does it, they've committed to address that situation. So I'm a bus driver for special needs school. Most, if not all, bus drivers are on a minimum wage. Re the bus escorts. I'm a bus driver. I don't get the wages they get. I've a bigger responsibility. I've spent €2,500 to get a bus license. I've never seen them do anything other than put a seatbelt on. Are they trained in first aid if there was a medical emergency? This is just the latest group jumping on the bandwagon for extra money. A couple of messages in there from bus drivers. I don't know. Why don't you align yourself? ourselves with them, though, and go down the route of a rising tide lifting all boats. Right, an interesting and troubling story coming out of OMA, and this is an ongoing noise. It's a persistent noise. It's been reported by residents in OMA, and it's impacting on their ability to sleep, and of course then that has a knock-on effect in other areas of their lives. Alliance Councillor Stephen Donnelly joins us now. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
Right, so can you describe what residents of OMA are enduring for us?
So it's been quite a strange situation, but as far back as maybe three or four weeks ago, we started receiving complaints. Initially, we thought it was from the southeast of the town, but it later transpired that it was across the wider geography of the town itself, that essentially there's been a prolonged and sustained buzz or hum happening late at night, usually after 11 o'clock or midnight, which sometimes is accompanied by vibration, and it tends to be sort of received by different people in different areas differently. But in a lot of cases, it's been incredibly disturbing and discomforting, and people have found that it's occasionally made it difficult for them to sleep. So we've been dealing with it as a serious issue of noise pollution.
And it sounds omnidirectional, which means it's at a frequency that can be hard to sort of ascertain where it's coming from, what's creating it.
I think that's what's been a little bit baffling about the situation, because as you can imagine, in local government, we get complaints about noise pollution all the time, and they tend to be relatively easy to resolve. And in this particular case, once I had requested that the council investigate the matter, and they had people on the ground, and it was confirmed that there was a problem. Unfortunately, the technology that the council had in its possession was not sufficient to be able to pinpoint the exact source, or indeed to confirm the possibility that it may actually be a multitude of sources that are contributing to the problem.
And is it likely to be like waterworks, a pump? What particularly could be running at night? This is not being heard during the day, or is it drowned out by the hustle and bustle of daily activity, I wonder?
I think that that's a possibility, because the time of day that it becomes most tangible is at the point whenever traffic is at its lowest. So that is indeed a possibility. And there's been some early speculation that it could potentially be something to do with generators at night, possibly could be something to do with power lines. But the honest answer at this stage is that the technology that is being used to look at this is not sufficient to be able to pinpoint this directly. So for us, we need to be able to procure that additional expertise and equipment to be able to make sure that we can actually establish the facts and then be able to act on an informed basis.
Do you think it's likely that whomever might have responsibility over whatever is generating this noise might know it's a problem but are saying nothing? Or do you think this is actually maybe no one, you know, even the person responsible or persons or organisation don't know it?
I mean, at this stage, I think it's just too early to know. It's quite possible that whoever is responsible, or indeed if it's a multitude of people are responsible, they may not realise that potentially whatever it is contributing to a number of factors that are meaning that there is a significant degree of noise pollution at night. But that is something that's going to have to be clarified, because there are a considerable number of people that are concerned about this, and you know, we deserve to see some action.
Yeah, and the action could be taken. There are obviously tools and powers that the council possess to crack down on this, but you have to find the source before that can be done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that could end up presenting a challenge, especially if it does turn out to be the case that it is a multitude of sources, because obviously, if you then establish the source, you then need to kind of make sure that you get that evidence base and then demonstrate that there is noise pollution coming forth from those particular sources. So this undoubtedly will not be solved overnight, but certainly whatever can be done should be done to try and get a solution to this.
Yeah, all right. Listen, thanks for your time. Alliance Councillor Stephen Donnelly, if you're in the OMA area listening to us, can you give us a call and let us know what that hum is like? 00353. 749125000. Before I get to some more of your comments, just to let you know that coming up after 11, Alison Byrne will be joining us to take your questions on understanding what your dreams mean. Now, I have a number of recurring dreams. Maybe you're a lucid dreamer, which means you can control your dreams as you sleep. I don't know. But lots and lots of us have queries as to what our dreams actually mean. So if you have a recurring dream and you've often thought, well, what does that actually mean? It'd be lovely to speak to you on air as well, but that's not essential, because then you can sort of tease it out and explain other aspects of the dream. But anyway, if you want to understand what your dreams mean, call or text us on 07491 25000, or text or WhatsApp your questions to 086 60 25000. So Alison's going to be deciphering your dreams and telling you what they mean. Now, I imagine when Alison comes on, we'll get quite a rush of calls. So if you want to make sure that your question is answered about what your dream means, please text or WhatsApp us now, or give us a call, and we can get that question to Alison. Hi, Greg. They need to build a bypass for Kilmacren, and maybe they can do it at the same time when they build the Bonagie Bridge. Lol, they say. Yeah, indeed. Hi, Greg. In regards to the bus escorts, yes, I agree that they may deserve a pay rise, but what about the bus driver that have the responsibility of everything on the bus? They aren't even getting minimum wage, and I do understand that. And I, rather than saying, it's just the tone of them and us, kind of. I don't think that benefits anyone. I don't think bus drivers as such are part of a union, are they? Often self-employed or employed by smaller operators. But if that is a particular issue, you know, let's raise that issue, and it doesn't not necessarily have to chip away at the bus escorts role. Because, you know, whilst someone might perceive them as not doing much, let's just say that is a perception. We heard yesterday from parents whose children simply wouldn't go to school if the bus escort wasn't there, that they're a familiar face, they're part of a familiar routine. And we spoke to two parents yesterday, their children simply wouldn't be at school if it wasn't for best bus escorts. So, you know, I don't think being critical of what they're doing benefits another set of workers in seeking improvement in pay, if that makes sense. And I mean that with respect. Joe in Lismonahan, the traffic on the Remelton Road has improved from what it was with the Polestar Junction. I wish I could say Lismonahan has gotten better too. They've moved traffic from one side of the town to another. If nothing is done, it will only get worse. You never really know how, you know, is it improvements or is traffic being displaced? If anybody in Donegal thinks the TII gives a cares about the Donegal roads or people, think again. 3 miles of dual carriageway in 40 years. What does that tell you? Not much. Traffic lights needed at Mountaintop Roundabout, blocked from 8:20 a.m. until 9:15 every weekday morning. It's a funny old roundabout, that, because it needs yellow boxes at the very least, but also there's a peculiar scenario whereby traffic coming up the hill splits into two lanes and then it competes to access a single lane, whilst there are other roads, two other roads also trying to get onto that lane. So you've got two lanes of traffic coming from one direction, another lane of traffic coming, I don't know where it is, from the two other sides. I'm terrible on road names. And it causes you've got four into one, do you know what I mean? And then cars sit on the roundabout. That roundabout down there, and there's another roundabout in Letterkenny just below us here at the Mountaintop. It needs yellow boxes because cars just sit on it trying to get down towards the hospital, and it's a nightmare. 10, 15 minutes, you'd be sitting there sometimes. Hi, can you tell that fella with the sinus issue to get his doctor to refer him to Dr. McBride in Ballykelly? I waited a few weeks for this after waiting ages on Letterkenny, and I'm using the cross-border funding. Unfortunately, there is nothing can be done for me, but that fella may get sorted. It's an awful way to live with sinus issues. And I'm sorry nothing can be done for you, but fair play. I didn't know at the time if that would cross-border funding would cover that issue. Okay, so that's very interesting. So there is that option, cross-border funding, Colette, and there's also maybe the National Treatment Purchase Fund. I got grommets in on that. I'm not sure if it applies to an adult or if it's changed. In response to this gentleman speaking, it's all falling on deaf ears until there's a serious incident. Always is. No action is ever taken. That's Councillor O'Donnell and Kilmacrenan there. John has brought so many Ukrainians into Kilmacrenan. This increases the volume of people at his premises on that junction. Kilmacrenan overflowing school volumes, people, etc. Could you ask him his opinion on this? Whether he has or not, and I presume if you say he has, that junction, and I'm familiar with the crashes that have been caused at it. It isn't no way related to refugees. I get it. You're making another point. That's fine. But The last crash, it was someone just came straight across from Milford and smashed into another car. I feel sorry for your caller's son with the ear issue. My younger son had to get grommets in, but long story short, we had to go private to Ballykelly based on the waiting list. He had to be referred through an ear specialist. We were seen quickly, though, and my son is a new person since the minor operation, but it did cost £2,000, which not everyone has, of course. I know, but... If one could get the 2,000 together, it's life-changing, isn't it? But maybe there is the cross-border treatment plan, or maybe the National Treatment Purchase Fund. These are options, so hopefully something good comes of it. Right, we'll be back with more after the news and obituary notices.